You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Please, 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 can I have a whole series of P.I. Jack Winter films?
Oh, my God. Totally. This is like, if somebody went to Tarantino and was like, hey, you want to reboot the Rockford Files? Well, we've got an idea for you.
Yeah, that is
our pitch.
I mean, it is. Yeah. It's like, if you take Jim Rockford, you add way more booze and a lot more violence.
Yeah, sure.
But still the same amount of him getting the shit kicked out of him.
Very true.
And cool car shit.
You got some good stuff
going on here.
Yeah, this movie, Small Town Crime, which even in Austin, which is a big indie-loving theater film city, is playing like two times a night, right, in one theater?
Yeah, it's really weird. And they're like at weird times, and even the
it's like 8:30 and midnight.
Yeah, and the showing that I went to was like they were having problems. Like they started in the, like, you know, a minute after the credits, or the opening credits rather. And yeah, they had to go back and start over again. And I'm just like, you have to stop doing this or I will kill you. So as regular listeners might know, I haven't done a review for a while. And I actually went out and paid to see this damn thing myself because John Hawks is my boy.
More so than just like he's one of my favorite actors. She's literally your friend.
Well, we're acquaintances. I would not go so far.
You
as
know
to call
him.
Us. I have had some good conversations with him.
Okay,
let me put it that way. And he's a
Texas boy.
He was in the music scene in Austin in the very early 80s and did theater here. And, you know, this was like his little launching pad. And then he moved off and, you know, became the awesome fucking character actor we all know and love.
Yeah. I mean, I've known him from various things for quite a while. Man, he was in Congo.
Here's my favorite trip. So before Pepper, the video that the Butthole Surfers did in the 90s, they only had one other video, which I think was for, it was a long form.
Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Hurdy Gurdy Man. Okay. Yeah. They did one for that, but they did another one for like Lady Smith, and they made a whole fucking,
right,
like, you know, it was a big production. Like Randy Turner from the Big Boys was in it and all. But the main guy, cause it was about this family, like wandering into this, you know, kind of horrible situation. And the guy who played the dad was John fucking Hawks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that in so long. I didn't know.
And he's young looking. But if you go back,
despite working for so long, appearing in things, character, usually really small parts, it wasn't until Winter's Bone that I think a lot of people went, who is that guy?
Well, and like a lot of film actors, he was kind of like, he played kind of nebbishy, nerdy guys. Mm-hmm. And Winter's Bone was the first time that it was like, holy shit, that guy is fucking terrifying.
I know.
Yeah. Agreed, and he has had a really great last couple of years appearing in all kinds of great stuff.
He also, slightly before Winter's Bone, I believe, he started collaborating with Miranda July and did some of her indie stuff,
mm-hmm,
which he was terrific in.
He was in Marlene, Contagions, so The Sessions. Yeah. Life of Crime was good. Three Billboards.
I liked him in those two. Like those two scenes,
in The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Oh, look at that!
Yeah.
I liked him in Identity. Fake motel manager?
I don't know. And I remember he was in Lost. I remember that. But anyway, the point is that John Hawks is one of those guys. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more from him even than we already have been the last couple of years. And part of that's going to be because people are slowly, and unfortunately just slowly because of the lack of immediate availability, going to be discovering this great movie,
Small
Town Crime, which is by two relative newcomer directors, Esham Nelms and Ian Nelms.
And holy dog shit, they got a dream cast.
Oh,
I mean, I would be going to see this if they just cast nobody else but John Hawks, but they also cast probably on the same level of for me, beloved character actors, Clifton Collins Jr. Just like one of those other guys.
Like I said, if they do a series of this, which interacting with the director on Facebook, I was like, please do a series. And I think you were like, with Clifton Collins Jr. too.
He's like, you know, he could easily do that Stuart Margolin's role in the Rock for Fire or Huggy Bear in Starsky and or what he really reminded me of was Weevil in Veronica Mars.
Yeah, well, to go to the plot here, John Hawks is a totally washed up, I mean, as washed up as you can get. He's everything but literally turned into driftwood on a beach.
He was a cop, and he fucked himself really good.
Yeah, his alcoholism had reached the stage of, you know, like DEFCON 5. It had gotten really bad.
He dropped on the job while carrying a gun.
And accidentally killing someone, a hostage.
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Yeah, and at this point, when the film picks up, we see him, he's kind of just given up. He's trying to not get kicked out of bars.
Basically. That's the goal of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And just getting from one place to the other without having that happen, without dying, although he doesn't care that much. He's
still got a house because his sister, who's played by Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, adopted sister.
And they make a point of being like, you know, he had this shitty fucking life, and then he got adopted into this family, and Octavia Spencer and her husband is played by Anthony Anderson.
Who's so wonderful.
Who's just really terrific great. In this. They're both terrific in this. They're paying his mortgage, and
they're the only people.
Anthony Anderson's kind of enabling him, like going out and, you know, getting drunk, but they're, you know, he's still got, like, you know, that kind of finger hold on a, you know, not completely living in the gutter life.
Right. He's barely hanging on because of these really, like, these people who are like, we're the only people he has. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even other cops who used to know him are kind of like,
chilly around.
Yeah.
There's
like, and he, during the whole thing that happened, he his partner ended up dying, and a lot of people were just like, well, if you hadn't been so fucking smashed, that wouldn't happen.
Especially Daniel Sinjata, who is from Rescue 911, who was one of the main characters on their place. One cop who's like, fuck you, and the other cop, Michael Vartan, who most people know from Alias, is a little more like, yeah, fuck you, but I'm not going to be a real big
cop. But
you're a way story.
I feel sorry for you, but
you're not a cop.
Everybody in this movie who runs out, they're either like, they fucking hate this guy because he's such a fuck up, or they're like, I feel sorry for you because you're such a fuck up.
I mean, what's funny, it's really a very Jim Thompson-esque setup.
Even
a lot of, when you just pull the, like, all the dialogue out and just look at the plot and the things that actually happen, you're like, this is really Jim Thompson-y. Mm-hmm. But when you bring the dialogue in, it gets that, it's like Quentin Tarantino-esque that. And not to the point where we're talking about all those people who are ripping him off. It's its own thing.
No, not at all.
But he is driving along the road, and he sees a woman on the side of the road, and she's beaten to holy hell, puts her in her car, bring her to the hospital. When he finds out that she's died, and he realizes her cell phone fell out of her pocket in his car, which is now the inside of which is covered with her blood, that little spark fires up inside him. That part that used to be a detective, that part that wanted to do good. And, you know, I mean, if they could just make everyone in an AA solve murders, I think we would be on to something.
Take their mind off of drinking. Yeah.
And so he gets the idea into his head that he's going to go after this, prints up some business cards without getting licensed, mind you, or anything, and goes into, quote, business as a private investigator. And the family, of course, at first is just like, you're fucking crazy. Get away from us. No thanks. But then the grandfather is played by
Once
again, Tarantino nod. Just assembled this god cast. He's just like, you know, this has been, it's been 3 or 4 weeks since she died. I know my daughter was a prostitute, and so the cops don't give a shit about her.
Yeah, the family was just a very rich, and she was the rebelling daughter who was like, I'm going to get into drugs and prostitution. But, you know, the key is that her pimp, Clifton Collins Jr., is one of the funniest character actor moments in any film I've seen in the last, like, 2 years with him in here. Just where he's going with this character and what they decide to do with this character in the story is, I can't love it anymore.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And like I said, there's kind of this grand tradition in, like, detective series, you know, or franchises where he always has like this fucked up underworld character as kind of like comic relief, you know, dude who can get shit done for you.
Yeah.
And Collins is just like, he's so fucking there. It's like the bullseye. And you're like, oh my God, I need 5 more of these movies at least.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I would like to throw a shout out as well to Katie Lotz, who I'm already completely madly head over heels in love with from her work in the CW verse. She's one of the best actors in that entire world.
Oh, right.
She's got so much charisma, it's ridiculous. And like, I'm always like, you're too good for this. You should be doing other things. I mean, I don't want to lose you from my stories, but you're great. And here she's like,
you should play something that doesn't involve wearing a domino.
Yeah, here she's like, you know, the prostitute that's actually really smart, you know? Mm. It's like, not quite Heart of Gold. We're not going to go there. But, yeah, with such an interesting cast and with a story that goes a lot of places you don't expect and goes to some pretty dark, bloody places.
I know.
And yet still at the ending somehow, you come out of it just feeling good.
I mean, it's a hopeful ending.
Ending, and yeah, even though there is, because, and even though we've certainly laid some spoilers on you, definitely not going to get into the end game of this, because it's fucking awesome.
It is. Oh my gosh.
Don't watch the trailer for this, by the way. Just
too many spoilers.
Cold if you can.
Yeah.
There's some really amazing stuff in here, and yeah, by the time it rolls up into that end, you're so in this guy's corner that you realize that, like, oh, this is why people put up with him, because he's such a complete fuck up. There's just something in the guy that you're, and even in that opening scene where he's like, he's obviously saying the worst fucking shit you can in a series of job interviews to just get an appointment. Yeah. Someone's like, you know what? I kind of feel you. I'm going to give you a chance. And he's like, God damn it.
Oh,
he's like, trying, but not really trying.
Yeah, look, like, I think you should know. I can't even function if I'm not drunk by mid-afternoon. Which is probably accurate in this case. You know, I think what it is, and there's always that thing with the character, is like, first there's the, if you're really good at something, we immediately like you.
Yeah.
And he actually does have a knack for detective
work. And not only that, but if you've seen Winter's Bone, you know that John Hawks has it in him to be a chilling motherfucker, and there are just a couple badass moments in those where you're like, oh, fuck, all right.
And as well, one of his key personality traits is, and you get this through his relationship with his family, he is loyal, incredibly loyal.
Yeah. There's no bullshitting with him, really.
Yeah. There's like people, like, he would fuck over a lot of people, but there are people he would never fuck over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you love that about him. Like, wow, you are a fascinating layered character, and it makes for a film that's just fun. It makes a protagonist that you really hope you're going to see.
And I mean,
more.
That's what we don't like successful Private Eyes. We want Private Eyes fucked up, lots of problems, drink a lot. It's all there.
A good antihero. That's what, you know, it's a staple of any noir film.
Yeah.
And it gets all the right noir beats, too, especially with the side
characters.
Absolutely.
And just like Jim Rockford or Phil Marlowe, you know, he's like, you know, there's just these classic scenes in there where he's getting his ass handed to him because it's just like, oh, he's just one fucking guy. He doesn't have the cops behind him. He doesn't have anything. He's just on his own trying to do this shit.
I like that they got the offbeatedness of, like, early Coen Brothers noir, like Blood Simple.
Yeah.
But didn't confuse that with just downright quirkiness of later Coen Brothers noir, which doesn't work for almost anyone else, and even not for the Coen Brothers a lot of the time. You know, I mean, it's, which I've seen all too often recently, like Suburbicon had that issue where it was like, you're trying to do late period Coen Brothers noir, and it's not working.
Yeah. Well, when was that one? That thing was written in the 80s.
Well, the script. Original. It's been through many drafts.
I think, you know, fair enough. I think one of the reasons that this works so well is because, God damn, they got such a good cast of folks doing this. Everybody is knocking it out of the fucking park. And I think, you know, if this were cast another way, it would probably just be a you know, kind of a by the numbers, you know, PI story. There's nothing in here story wise that you haven't seen before, but it's just so well acted and the characters are so wonderfully realized that you're just involved from the get.
Mm. All right, let's go to final thoughts. I'll call this Frank's Corner.
Frank's Corner.
Because I know we've been just going a mile a minute.
No, that's fine.
Frank,
no.
You get to talk now.
No, I really love that this movie like really does wear its noir and its Tarantino, you know, aspirations, honestly. Like that moment in the bar with the bartender, with the female bartender.
So
my God, how great was that? Oh, and it was so tension-filled. I was like, oh, please let this continue on. And then, you know, but I also love what it did with the character. I love that, you know, he sees that case as redemption and, you know, to prove his self-worth, that he still has something in him that's, you know, worth saving. And I think it did a really good job with that. I'm also a really big fan of noir that's not set in New York or Los Angeles or San Francisco. I love that way that those, you know, the staples of such a story can transfer to a small town, the safety of a small town. And I think that this one, you know, showed that really well. This is a great, great film. I know it's going to have a long and healthy life. People are going to discover this and they're going to love it, and they should. So I'm going to give this maybe like 9 out of 10 post hangover workouts, which I could never do.
Yeah,
I don't know how he did. Well, he
what
did. He threw
up. Oh my God.
But it's like,
when I watched that, I was like, oh, okay, he was bullshitting that lady about his alcohol use, and then the bit happens. You're like, no, he was not.
Bo?
I'm so glad that this is kind of my comeback review for the site after a long hiatus, and because, man, you know how there's bespoke porn out there now that you can, like, you know, contact porn stars and be like, I'm going to pay you X amount of money, and this is what I would like you to do in a movie.
Sure.
This is like if somebody had been like, hey, Bo, wink, wink on the internet. Would you like to have a nice haute noir thriller? What would you like us to do? I'd be like, well, first of all, I'd like John Hawks to be the protagonist. And yeah, it's just like, this is almost a dream. When I saw the cast of this and the plot, I was like, okay, I'm not watching the trailer. I'm not doing any research on this. I'm going in cold because this just sounds fucking incredible right off the bat. And I was not disappointed. I almost want to warn people that it's just like, this is so much to my taste and has so many of my favorite people in it that, you know, take that away. If you're not particularly a fan of these guys, maybe it's not for you.
Right.
Man, I had such a great time. I think anyone who is a fan of hard-boiled detective stuff is going to fall in love with this movie.
Yeah, offbeat hard-boiled.
Yeah, I really haven't had such a yay detective moment since maybe Brick.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Or that one with Bill Pullman.
Joshua Gordon-Levitt.
Joshua Gordon-Levitt.
No, I know, but I'm saying, you remember one with Bill Pullman where he plays the guy that kind of mentally...
Yeah.
I can't remember. Zero something.
Yeah,
I always wanted to say Charisma, but that's a totally different movie.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wholeheartedly love this movie. I'm going to give it a small point just because, like I said, with the wrong cast, there's nothing new here plot wise. That's all I'm taking away for, and I'm giving it a wholehearted 9. Soup the fuck up, Chevy Novas.
Oh nice. Yes, gosh.
Yeah, this is just pure fun. I almost from the start to finish, I was like, I'm just having a good time watching this, and I really hope that they don't go outside of where I. You know, not where I want it to go. I just hope that this thing doesn't take a turn that makes me start. Because these sort of things often do that. Yeah. We were in love with them for a while, and then suddenly they go someplace.
She's
you're
walking
like,
that line.
Why did you do that? That was a horrible idea. This never does that. It always does exactly what it should, clearly, and in ways that are unpredictable. What a wonderful cast. What a great film. What a great debut from these writer-directors that I look forward to seeing. I just want to hang out with these guys and ask them questions. Like, you know.
Noir.
Yeah, I'm just.
Too.
This is a new minor classic, quite frankly, and I feel like as time goes on,
like if this doesn't get made into a film series, I want like Joe Lansdale to write a series.
Seriously, right?
With this using this character,
fuck it, dude. I mean, if you get it, if you pay them whatever it costs to get a TV series, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
You know, I had so much fun. Hell, I'd watch a spinoff just about Clifton Collins Jr. character, quite frankly, who's a riot.
Watch him in anything. He's another John. Oh my God, yeah.
You know. I give this 9 out of 10 really unexpected gangbanger names. Yeah, when they do this big build up to what Clifton Collins is called, they're like, he likes to be known as Mood.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
That's funny. It's like being called sound.
Yeah, exactly. He feels to be called toy maker.
Some call me Moo.